Well, if you guys would be turning to 2 Corinthians, we're studying kind of chapter by chapter through the book of 2 Corinthians. Who remembers what the what was the theme of our class that we're trying to communicate? Being ministry minded. So I don't know if you guys can see this very good. It says ministry minded there. And what's this a picture of that we kind of picture ministry as? Yeah, Jesus Christ washed his disciples' feet, and he tells them to do likewise, right? So he gives us an example. And so these Corinthians, we got a little map here of the Middle East. This is the big Mediterranean Sea, and Israel's down here. And then just north of, what's this orange dot? If you, without reading, what's the sending church for Paul? Do you remember? Who said it? Teresa? Yeah, it was Antioch. So Antioch is where they were first called Christians. The Jerusalem church was persecuted, and some of the Christians fled up to Antioch. What country is Antioch in? Jim says Syria. Jim is right. So these are countries in the news today, right? Syria, and then Lebanon, and then Israel. But so all these lines represent Paul's missionary journeys, and he went up through Macedonia, and on one of his trips, he learned that there's a I think it was the Macedonians that helped others, and now Paul is asking the church at Corinth. I think he was there a year and a half. We read in Acts 16 or Acts 18, I think it was. And Paul is asking the church there to make a financial contribution to the church back at Jerusalem. So today is the last day on giving, and I know people don't like to come to church because they talk about giving and wanting your money, but that is the passage we're in right now. And it is a way to minister to others, isn't it? And so we said that really giving is more for the giver than the givee. And, you know, Jesus Christ even said it's more blessed to give than receive, didn't he? And so we have saw that and realized that in different ways. So anyway, today is about being ministry-minded. What did I do with my notebook? Ah, thank you, Chuck. So anyway, hopefully it'll cool down a little bit in here. But so I don't know. I haven't introduced these ladies over here. On my left is Kylie and Jackson, and so they called me yesterday, and they got one of our Bibles, and mine and Pat Lee. Pat Lee should be here in a minute. Pat's name's on the back of that Bible as well.
I think he called and left a message for us.
Did you? And he was bringing a couple friends, so he may be running late because he may have had to go pick them up. So Pat should be here in a minute. But so I gave you some key verses at the top of your handout, and these are what I consider to be the key verses in the book of 2 Corinthians. And let's just read those for a minute. Jaime, I think I'll have you read, brother, just on your handout. Our top verses, those key verses, can you read those nice and loud?
Yes. For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all that they which lie, they should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again.
Amen. So Christ died for us, and so we should live for him. And so that's kind of our thesis, is to just quit living for ourselves and start living for Christ. Amen? And if he died for all, then all were dead. And but he's alive now. He rose from the dead. And so we serve a living Savior. And it says that the love of Christ constraineth us. And we talked about the example of, I don't know if you can think of an MMA fighter, but he's got somebody in a chokehold, right? He's constraining him. And we can even think, we met a police officer yesterday, and he's now a security officer at a hospital, and he says sometimes we get some mental patients in there, and we have to constrain them. We have to, I think he said, restrain them. But you can imagine, you know, someone being restrained by the police. And Paul says that the love of Christ is like that. It's like, man, Christ has got me in a chokehold, and all I can do now is serve Him. So it's really quite a statement he makes there. And so when we get to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's go ahead and go there. And we're going to finish this chapter. It's only got 15 verses. And we went through the first 10 last week. But Aura, would you read verse 8 and then jump clear down to verse 11? Because if everybody notice, verse 9 and 10 have a parenthesis. Everybody see that? And so, if you'd read 8 and 11, we'll just take out the parenthesis verses there. Now, I want us to see something.
And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. 11. Being enriched in everything to all wantfulness, which causes trout of thanksgiving to God.
Amen. So God is able. And what is He able to do? He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye in always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound into every good work. And verse 11 says, being enriched. And that word being enriched means God is able to make you rich. That's just what, if I was to enrich you, I would give you, you know, a pile of money and I would make you rich. And that's what God is able to do, is to make us rich. And I gave you a blank on your handout if you want to fill this in. I'm going to use purple today. Yeah. That's kind of getting dried up, though. So, when Christ gives us His grace and it enriches us, and He's able to do that, it causes us to give thanksgiving. You know, that we have to teach our children that, don't we? You know, Johnny, you know, say thank you. You know, this person give you something, say thank you. And so children have to learn to be thankful. So when we as adults here experience God's grace, it should cause us to be thankful, shouldn't it? And that's what it says in verse 11 that Aura read for us. And so my next point there is just that there's some benefits of ministering to the saints. And Larry, if would you want to read 12 through 14?
Yeah, I can do that. 12 through 14 says, for the administration of this service, not only supply it, the want of the saints, but is abundant also by making thanksgiving unto God. And it goes over here to say, while by the experiment of this administration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you.
Yeah, so there's a lot there, but it says this, the administration of this service. So I think Jim took down that flyer about the motorcycle ride that's coming up this weekend. But It was really kind of funny because the leader of that ride, they're going to donate some to our Life Issues Addiction Recovery Group, and he called our church to figure out how to, you know, collect the money and distribute the money, and our son was able to, you know, explain all that to him, and he was just amazed that, I mean, we're a non-for-profit 501c3, and there's just rules that we have about handling money, and, you know, he's got to figure out how to get a, you know, a credit card machine and all that for the motorcycle riders. And But it's saying here that there's administration of this service, and it not only supplieth the want of the saints, and so that was one of the things I put on your handout. It applies the wants or the needs of the saints. It causes them to glorify and thank God, and it gives proof that the givers are true Christians. And it also causes prayers of those who are supplied, those who receive the gift, to go up in prayer for their benefactor. So, and in verse 13 that Larry read, it calls it an experiment. And I thought that's quite an interesting word, because I work at a pharmaceutical business. I'm a maintenance guy there. And so I work in the labs where, you know, doctors and scientists experiment. And so it's kind of a neat word there. And they have what they call methods. So they have a method of how they test things. And, you know, it's all documented, and there's log books, and all the equipment have asset numbers. And, you know, they have to record the time that they do it and the duration of the test. And, you know, then they supply printouts, and all the machines are connected to the computers, and they can download, you know, their graphs. And it's a very you know, think about this experiment of this church giving to people that they don't know, and it caused the people that received the gift to give thanks to God and to pray for the people that gave them the money. And so there's just all this dynamics of giving to people you don't know, and just trusting the, you know, the leadership of the church. You know, Paul is saying that there's a need here. The church at Corinth don't even know these people, but Paul is an apostle, and he has the authority that, hey, there's a real need here, and you guys were ready a year ago. Now you need to perform it. You need to, you know, open your wallet and give to these people. Otherwise, I've been boasting of you, and you know you're going to be ashamed. You're going to cause us to be ashamed because we've been bragging about you, and you're going to be ashamed for not giving because the people of Macedonia, I told them about this. And anyway, so there's just a lot of dynamics in this experiment, and and I gave you this little saying again that they gave through the church. In fact, look back at 1 Corinthians 16. I don't know if we ever went back and read this. And I know that all you know this, but our church, Heartland Baptist Fellowship, and I was telling these ladies that I'm not the senior pastor here. They'll hear Pastor Brian today. I am one of seven pastors here. I'm a lay pastor, meaning that I have a full-time job, and I'm not on staff here. But our church tries to follow the Bible, and here's one of the examples of following the Bible from 1 Corinthians 16 and verses 1 and 2. Carol, would you read those for us?
Yeah,
just one book back. Kylie, I think that's my drink right here, isn't it? This is not yours, is it? I was looking for my drink. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. All right. Yeah, so there's 1 Corinthians 10, 12. We're getting there.
All right.
Chapter 16. got a new Bible. The pages are stuck together. Yeah, nice.
15:1.
Yeah, and 2.
Continuing the corruption with the saints, and I have given order to the churches of Galilee, even so do you all upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by hand in store, and God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come.
Yeah, so here's this church at Corinth, and Paul just kind of gives a blanket statement concerning the collection for the saints. He's given order to the churches of Galatia that upon the first day of the week, what is the first day of the week?
Sunday.
It's Sunday. If you have a calendar, the first day is Sunday, and Saturday is the Sabbath. It's the last day of the week. And so on Sunday, he says that you should, every one, lay by him in store as God has prospered him. And so so we take up a collection the first day of the week and encourage people to give. And it's neat that the Bible calls living people saints. Some churches consider saints people that have died, but in the Bible, saints are actually Christians who are still alive. So there's an example of laying by in store on the first day of the week. And so that's one way that we try to follow the Word of God in practice. And that's what we consider the Bible to be, our standard for all matters of faith and practice. So look at your handout again now, and I give you a ministry principle there on the front page. There's a little arrow, looks like an arrowhead, doesn't it? And the ministry principle here is this: prayer is the only recompense that the poor can make, but it is what those who give need the most. So the poor people, you know, couldn't pay back, and I don't know if it was Ronald Reagan or it was maybe George Bush. It was one of our presidents said that, you know, people are known by how they treat those who cannot repay them. It's something, I'm probably butchered that. But anyway, I thought that was good. You know, and don't miss this. And Kylie, you had a couple of children that have graduated. You can attest to this. The example of ministry in the Bible is raising children. And it's pretty much a one-way street, isn't it? You give to them and without expecting return. And a ministry is like that. And I told our class before that if you minister expecting people to repay you, you know, you're going to be disappointed pretty quick. And I know people who have kind of dropped out. They feel like they got burned. They helped somebody and the people didn't help them back. And, you know, they just got their feelings hurt and they fall away. So don't do that, because if we minister to others for Christ, then we're not going to be disappointed, because Christ said he will repay. And so we're laying up treasure in heaven. And so you know what? Ministry makes you vulnerable. It opens you up to be taken advantage of, doesn't it? And if you haven't experienced that, you will if you're going to be involved in ministry. And so we serve others by serving. We serve the Lord by serving others. And so we need to be others focused. We need to be ministry minded. And your letter E there, my second blank, was just this giving was a result of proving your love through giving. And so it's just sort of proving. And doesn't it say that prove the sincerity of your love back in 2 Corinthians chapter 9? It's where does it say that? Or maybe it's chapter 8, isn't it? We read that. Yeah, chapter 8, verse 8, the very last words. to prove the sincerity of your love. So, the proof's in the pudding. I don't know exactly what that quote means, but you actually show that you love others when you give to them. And so, the verses that I believe Larry read, there was some reaping involved. And we don't give to get to keep, but we give to get to give to other, to give more. So it's a way of experiencing God's grace. And I gave you another principle there, that God is the author of giving. So by His grace in the heart of the giver. And that was in verse 14. It's where I got that from. It's the grace of God in you. So God put this burden in us to help others, and He is the author of giving. And I know I told you before, but that's what I look for in our recovery students. Is addiction is very much a taker. It's a selfish, deceitful, sinful thing. But when people truly get saved and they're trying to recover from their addiction, I look for a time when they quit being takers and start being givers. And I think that's helps me see, and really that's really all I look for in our students, is some type of progress, and whether it be that or something else, but just going forward, taking that next right step, so to speak. And I gave you some verses from the Old Testament there. Hey, Kevin. Oh man, you got a thistle flower.
That's actually medicine.
Is it? So there's no thistles on it, so that's good.
Horses eat them up like candy.
That's a good one there, Kevin. Well, let me read these verses from Isaiah that's on your handout. It says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." And so that's one of the blessings of giving, is the seed is multiplied, it goes forth, it doesn't return void, and God's word is like that. It's like rain. We all had a big rain last night, and it's going to cause the earth to bring forth and to bud and to grow. And so the water doesn't return void, and neither does God's word. And so people begin, they'll give glory to God on my behalf when I give. And I don't know if you guys, I don't know if all of you get some of our missionary prayer letters, but you know, when I get those missionary reports from our friends in India or other places around the world, I rejoice. We glorify God that, there's some persecution going on in other parts of the world, and in a very practical, literal way, we are helping feed people, house people, and God's word is going forth because of our giving. So, and then in verse 15, hey, Larry. I'm going to have Emma, would you read verse 15 and close out this chapter? We're 2 Corinthians 9:15.
Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift.
Yeah, so it's pretty wild that he wraps up all this talk about giving, and he says, thank you, Lord, for your unspeakable gift. What is he talking about there? He gave his son. Yeah, so his son is his gift to us. And the reason if you look at the top of the back of your handout, it says God's unspeakable gift is the gift of his son, which cannot be fully declared. So I put the word fully in your blank. And before I'm going to try to play a video for you right now. Let's see here. I got to get my mouse out here. Help me navigate a little bit better. I hope this will play. This is a guy who's a pastor in the 70s, Mr. Lockridge. And I'm hoping this will play here, guys. It's 3 minutes, but there's a longer one. I'll turn it up as loud as I can. It's not playing, is it?
Yes.
Can you do it, Kevin? Sorry about that. Hey, Alana.
Hey.
This your boy?
Yeah, it's Aaron.
Aaron, hey, I'm Steve. Welcome. I'm trying to play a video here, and I'm not doing a very good job. I'll tell you what, let me...
My first snapper.
It was all bad.
Huh?
It's still not good of them.
Here we go. Here we go. Maybe.
Strength for the week. He's available. I want to do you know.
Here we go.
I want to do you know it. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's in due.
Sorry, guys.
My king was born.
Nope, that's the long version. I wanted to do the... One more time.
The U.S. mechanic finally solved the car scratch problem. It takes just a few minutes to make any scratch disappear. This...
I want to do you know it. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him. You can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him. But
Amen. That is good, isn't it? Let's just have a word of prayer right now, and we got another 30 minutes, but let's just pray. I don't know how else to wrap that up right there, but hopefully that touched your heart. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for what we just heard there. We just read in your Bible about this. It says it's an unspeakable gift. And Lord, that pastor tried to explain it, describe it, but Lord, you said that the books couldn't contain all that could be written about our Lord. And so, Lord, just as we're moved and compelled by what we heard here, Lord, from your word, just all these things that he does mean to us, young or old, rich or poor, male or female. Lord, we do know you. We, those of us that have been saved, we've been born again. And Lord, we're thankful to know you. And we ask your blessing on the remainder of this time together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, yeah, that's just pretty powerful. I listened to part of that this morning, and there's a longer version that's like 7 minutes, and that was 3 minutes. But you kind of get an idea of just the all-encompassing. I gave you some other verses there that you could look up where Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and he talked to her about the gift of God, this living water. And I gave you some verses from Romans 11 where it says that his ways are unsearchable and there's no bound. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. And anyway, Paul, we believe that Paul had a near-death experience when he was stoned. And he says he doesn't know if he was in the body or out of the body, but he was exalted to the third heaven, and it said he heard there things that are unspeakable. And so all this really compels us to want to know the Lord better. Amen?
Amen.
And we want to be with him. We look forward to a time when he comes and gets us. So the last part of this handout that I have on the back side of your paper, I gave you an overview of giving from the Bible. And I really should have, I probably should have asked Brian, but this is from our discipleship material. I reworded it a little bit in my own words. Does everybody see Roman numeral 2, the overview of giving in the Bible?
Yeah.
And in our discipleship material, I think it's lesson number 10. We have 16 lessons, and if you're not familiar with our church and discipleship, there's 16 lessons, and we have a one-on-one. It's kind of like a sponsor, but it's a disciple. Excuse me, a discipler and a disciple. They usually meet one-on-one or couples with couples. And we just teach some of the, we call them ABCs of Christianity, some of the fundamentals of the faith. And one of them is about giving. And it says in that lesson that the key word is control. And we need to give control of our lives and resources. I think that's the way I spell that. So if you want to follow along and fill in your blanks, we need to give control of our lives and resources to Jesus Christ. And really, when you give the Lord your heart, that gives him the liberty of, you know, of your resources, of your life, of your time, and of your family, and of your job, and of your vehicles. And so those are what it's just talking about. And we said that giving proves the sincerity of our love. And does anybody know that Matthew 6:21 by heart? Did anyone quote that for us? For where your treasure is.
There your heart is also.
Yeah. Do you know I know people the look at the stock market every day. Why do you think that is?
That's where their heart is. Right?
That's where their heart is.
Money.
Yeah, so their money's there.
That's where they're worshiping.
Well, maybe. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything bad about that, but it's just an example. And you know, some of you call your kids or your parents every day because that's where your heart is. That's where your treasure is, right? You're you're thinking about your family. That's, you love that. If you read the Word of God every day, that's because that's important to you. You pray because that's important to you. You give thanks because you're thankful. And so giving develops an attitude of grace. And I wish I had pulled up that video, but there's a Southern Gospel song. It's called Grace Ain't Fair. And that's the gist of the song is, I am so thankful that grace isn't fair. Aren't you glad that you don't get what you deserve?
Amen.
I am. I mean, we've all done things we're not proud of. And if we were held accountable to everything we've done, I mean, we certainly want, there's a little distinction between mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. You know, like your child deserves a whooping, but you don't give them a whooping. Yeah, Atlanta's got her boy here.
Yeah. I'm thinking more about my granddaughter.
Okay.
Than my two nieces I got over.
So.
It's me.
So that's mercy if you don't give them a whooping. But
Lord loveth you, chastening.
But great, right. But grace is giving them an ice cream cone when they deserve a spanking, right?
Yeah.
And that's like salvation. We deserve punishment in hell. But God saves us and He gives us eternity in heaven, right? So anyway, that's grace. Larry, did you tear up your handout? Are you mad?
No.
Okay.
I'm just cleaning out my stuff.
I'm teasing you. All right, so this thing about grace.
I did not tear up my hand.
Okay. Now, this next section says giving supports your church leaders. And before we were at this church, so we've been at this church since 2005, and I think this church started 2002. So we were here 3 years after it started. And but we helped start a church in Overland Park, Kansas. My wife and I and a group of people went out from the Kansas City Baptist Temple, and a young man was ordained to pastor that church. And so we were there for almost 9 years. So we went in 96 or so. And I remember him distinctly saying, because he was an engineer. He was an engineer by trade at, I don't know if it was Burns and McDonald. It was one of the bigger...
Black and Beach.
It was Black and... And I remember him... So whenever we went out as a church, he was still being a full-time engineer by day and a pastor at night. Which is what, you know, I still do, I guess. But I remember him saying that he would continue to be an engineer until it started detrimentally affecting the ministry, if he wasn't able to minister because of his actual job. And so I gave you some verses here about that. It says here in from 1 Corinthians 9, if we have sown into you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And I remember that was a verse that that young engineer used to show that, you know, it is okay to receive a paycheck from the church because you should live from the gospel because you're preaching the gospel. And so I know our own pastor here was, he worked part-time as he was pastor here. And so I wanted to give you some justification for those things. And I gave you a couple of others from Galatians and 1 Timothy. Let me turn this just a little bit colder. Did you? This got shut off.
So what about me?
Okay. I wondered if it kicked off.
Just for that reason.
No, no problem. Now, letter E there, giving supports those in the body who are unable to support themselves. So, and, you know, it's nearly every, you know, our church has a benevolence policy. And so we are able to help people from time to time. And the pastors, we meet every Sunday night. I think we're off tonight. But and we look at benevolence forms. And we consider if we're able to help people. So anyway, there's some verses about that. And giving supports other projects or needs as determined by the leadership of the church. And that's really what he's doing here in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, is Paul saying, hey, church at Corinth, there's a need, there's a project. And so sometimes the church leadership discerns if there's a need. And I actually talked to a pastor on the East Coast this week. And he said, hey, is your church giving to this? There's a need in India right now. And so I got a hold of Brian. And so the church on the East Coast wanted to help us to give to a church in India. And we were able to do that a little bit. And so anyway, those kind of things come up. And so so your ministry principle there is that God will fund his mission through control of your and my resources. Now, let's see, Pam, let's see how loud a voice you got today. Would you read that Malachi 3, 8 through 10 there on your handout? Yeah, so the Lord is asking Israel there, you know, are you going to rob God? And the answer is, well, God, where have we robbed you? And he says in tithes and offerings. And so I wanted to talk about that just for a minute, because look at those next two verses on your handout. And I want to emphasize, I'll read these from Genesis 14:20. It says, and blessed be the Most High God who hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. And in the New Testament it records this story. You know what, I think I may have wrote that a little bit. I may have to look these up. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had promises. So was Moses under the law? Or I'm sorry, was Abraham under the law?
No.
So this was before the law. And it says there that Abraham gave him a tithe of all. And he's talking about Melchizedek after Abraham won this victory in battle and he took the spoils of the war. He gave a tenth of that to Melchizedek, this king of Salem. And then I gave you some verses that are under the law. And how much is a tithe? Do you remember?
10%.
Yeah, it was 10%. So, 10%, and even what we're reading here in Malachi was under the law, and they're talking about tithes is 10%. So, here in the church, so is everybody still in 2 Corinthians chapter 9?
Yeah.
And Teresa, would you read verse 7 again? Yeah. So let me do that this way. So in the new print, in the New Testament, we really can't tell. No one can really tell us what to give. But we just read that we've got this unspeakable gift. So I guess that's what I'd like. As we conclude this time on giving, just I put a little question mark. You know, how do you purpose in your heart? We see an example before the law was 10% and under the law is 10%. But and what we would say is 10% would be a good you know, if you had to start somewhere, that would be a good place to start, wouldn't it? But it's really as you purpose in your heart, and it's a way of showing thanks. It's a way of showing grace, and let me. I even got this question this week: should we give off of our gross or should we give off of our net?
What they pay you before the taxes.
Yeah, so that would,
whatever your check is, that's what you made the difference.
Well, that's your net.
Yeah, the gross amount is what you pay off.
And right, so if everybody's seen there that Abraham paid tithes of all, didn't he? He just took all 10% off the top.
Was it here that we talked about 10 for God, 10 for?
Yeah. Yeah, so
10, 10, 80.
Yeah, 10, 10, 80. It was give the Lord 10%, try to save 10%,
and then 80%,
and try to live off of 80. And so that most conservative teachers about finances would say that, at least the Christian ones. And I gave you another verse there out of Proverbs. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And then I gave you one last blank, and I want you to think about this. We all could or should probably grow in the area of giving. So, you'll kind of laugh at this, but I know a guy who's a pastor now, and he was once a professional gambler, and he paid his way through college off his gambling winning. I don't know if he was a Christian at the time, but he's always been real hypersensitive about money, I think he has 5 or 6 kids, and when he became a pastor of a church, he was making about $30,000 a year raising these 6 kids. And his wife didn't work, and he purposed that from the time he got saved, he was just going to start giving 10% to the Lord, and he was going to increase that by 1% every year. And last I knew, he was giving 30% of his income to the Lord. He He raised his kids, and he really had he delivered pizzas at night, and that's how he memorized a lot of Bible verses. He would stick Post-it notes on his dashboard. So he's driving, he's pastor by day, Pizza Hut delivery guy all night, memorizing scripture,
memorizing books,
and yeah,
surviving the whole time.
And do you know? And when he had his children, this happened twice. That he went to pay the hospital for delivering his children, and twice he had within $1 or $2 of enough money to pay for the children.
Awesome.
So I mean, he just like emptying his pockets, and so anyway, there's just a guy example. But could you agree with me that we all could grow in this area?
Amen.
Yes.
And I guess that would be a way of maturing, wouldn't it?
So you got to know that God's going to provide for you.
Right,
so
right.
He's given 30%. God's actually given it to him to give that.
Yeah, yeah. Larry, what are you thinking?
He was talking about that professional gambler gives everything that he's getting, everything that
Well, I don't know if he was saved at the time he was doing
I understand that. But that brings me to a story of when I was going to a church down south when I lived down in southern Missouri. And we'd go to pass the plate, you know, like on Wednesday night or something, for Wednesday night Bible study. And the plate come around and this one guy, man, he had a wad of cash about like this.
Wow.
Pulled every dollar out. And stuck it in the offering plate.
Wow.
And give it to God.
Wow. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
But I mean, that was basically everything that he had worked for.
Right. Right. Well, we're going to hold up there. Just remember, next week we will not be here. Where will we be?
Church in the park.
We'll be church in the park. And what time?
10 o'clock.
I gotta be there earlier than that.
8:30.
Me and Chuck's gonna get there early. But yeah, service time is at 10 o'clock. And afterwards, Larry, what are we gonna do after the service?
We're gonna cook hamburgers and hot dogs.
We got hamburgers and hot dogs. And so
I don't know what else we're gonna have with it.
Well, is there any other comments about this? So it'll actually be a couple weeks before we get back to 2 Corinthians, but any other comments about this chapter? We're glad you girls are with us. So hopefully you can join us for the main service, and then we're going to give some Bibles to the Welcome House. Sherry, do you have a comment?
Yeah. My parents, you know, there are six of us kids. We were tight on them, and my dad was part of it. So my mom knew how to stretch the meals and do things for the family. But my parents were so good to the elderly people in front of us that to this day, what they taught us as kids was to think of others, even when we're not built to have or very much. And so I really believe that my childhood has helped all us kids to be more giving people to see in that time with us.
That's really good. That's a good way to end up here. I know. Jim has told me, Sherry, a little bit. Hey, Angie, hold up just a second. Jim has told me just that, you know, you had a very humble upbringing, and so yeah, I'm touched by that. I know even through our addiction recovery group, I remember taking some groceries to a lady's house. And they'd had their electricity shut off, and it was in the middle of the winter, and they had a gallon of milk sitting outside the front door on a stump to keep it cold, so they, you know, their refrigerator wasn't running. I'm just like, I mean, I've seen poverty in other countries too, but just the recovery group has helped make me thankful for what we have. And so let's pray and just give God some thanks, and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, I do thank you for the testimony that Sherry just shared about her family, and just a godly family, teaching them to give even though they didn't have much, Lord. And so help us to, was read, just purpose in our heart what we should give back to you. We know we've got this unspeakable gift, and help us to do it, give cheerfully and not out of necessity or grudgingly. I know you love a cheerful giver, Lord, and so thank you for this study. Thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for this video of just this unspeakable gift we have through Jesus Christ. And be with Pastor Brian in this next main service, and we dedicate this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.